Scientists in the night. Night work starts with lists. Batteries. Permits. First aid. Clean bags. Calibrated scales. Spare headlamp. Extra red filters. Antenna. Receiver. Collars in labeled pouches. Ethic forms on a clip. The team reads each line and touches each item. Fingers turn words into checks. The truck carries weight and hope. The road buckles and climbs. The plan for the night is simple and strict. Find. Handle. Record. Release. Leave the place as if no one came. They reach a track that ends at scrub. They step into brush with slow feet. They have walked this line many nights. They know where stone lies under soil and where roots trip ankles. They know where wind gathers and where air sits heavy. They speak in low voices when they must. They let silence hold when it can. They set traps where cover meets food seams. They cut scent with water at the end of each set. They mark positions in a book with time down to the minute. They check their ethics notes in red. No trap stands where a predator can wait and feed on fear. No trap stands near burrows. No trap stands where heat pools or water runs if the sky breaks. They split the route. Two loops. One high. One low. Each with a stop where the ground is flat enough to weigh and measure without stress. They choose these stones in the day. They sit on them and feel the night through their backs. They judge which holds calm. They name them in their notes. Ridge Rock. Palm Ledge. Spring Lip. The names keep the team aligned in the dark. The first loop is slow. They move with the patience knights teach. The traps sit like quiet questions on the ground. Some hold leaves. Some hold slugs. Some hold the target. When a trap shakes, they do not rush. They dim light. They lower voices. They set a bag by the door. The handler counts. One. Two. Three. The door opens a finger. The trap tips. The body moves to cloth. The drawstring closes. The bag warms and shifts. Hands learn the weight of a life in seconds. They steady the bag and lower blood in the animal with stillness. They cover the head under cloth. Breaths settle by degree. They check the mouth and see the groove on the lower incisor. They check the tail. Hairless. Ringed. They check the feet. Tense at first. Less when touch becomes pattern. They check the ear for tears. They check for scars. They do not probe long. They do not collect more than needed. Tonight's aim includes fitting a radio collar on an adult in good condition. Not on a juvenile. Not on any body that shows stress that does not subside in a minute. The collar adds weight. The collar adds burden. Burden must buy more than it costs. The collar lies in a pouch with a number. It is light. It is tuned to a frequency that splits clean from others on the band. The lead holds it and looks at the neck through cloth. The neck is slim. The skin is loose enough to allow breath and muscle. The lead asks the second to read the list for fit. Two fingers under band when set. No snag on hair. Leave a finger length of tail for growth if youthful, but not juvenile. Check for rub risk on jaw motion. Check for snag risk under root threads and burrows. They weigh again with the collar on to record the added grams. They log the number. They work the clasp with care. Plastic can bite. Metal can chill. They use a soft band. The band passes and locks. The fingers test for play. The hand lifts the head in the bag a little to check range of motion. The animal clicks once. The hand lowers. The head settles. The breath slows. The lead nods. The second writes. The third checks time. The fourth listens for night sounds that mean trouble. A dog. A cat. A man. No trouble. Only wind and the low bend of leaves. They open the bag to the ground. The animal waits. The snout emerges. The body moves out. The collar lies light on fur. The antenna sits short and soft. It will not snag on leaf. It will send a pulse the team can find with an antenna raised and a receiver tuned. The animal steps, pauses, and then moves with the odd shuffle that blends into fluid when leaf hides feet. It passes under a root. It disappears. The lead lifts the receiver. A faint tick ticks through the speaker. A pulse. The rhythm is a heartbeat on an instrument. The team smiles and stands. The antenna lifts and turns. The pulse grows when the beam points right. The beam dips and the pulse fades. The lead sets a bearing and a range. They mark a point. They do not follow now. They give the animal a half hour to forget the bag. They walk the rest of the loop and check more traps. They release a lizard. They free a mouse. They close an empty door. At the half hour, they raise the beam again. The pulse leads into scrub and then down to a seam near a rock. They step with thought. They do not crowd. They stop before the place and kneel. The pulse is strong. The animal lies under root. It digs. It feeds. The team listens to the radio speak leaf and soil through simple code. They mark the point. They move away. They leave the animal to work. Telemetry earns data by miles. They walk a grid. They stop. They turn the beam. They write bearings. They write signal strength. They triangulate when brush hides clear lines. They take 3 points that cross. They plot an X on a map with inches that mark meters. They return the next night. They repeat. They watch how the X moves over weeks. They learn a home range. They learn core use. They learn rest sites and paths between food and water. They learn which edges the animal refuses to cross. They learn where cats hunt. They learn where dogs push. They learn which hedges matter. They do not push lines onto the animal. They let lines reveal the animal. The ethic sits at the center of this work. The animal's life comes first. The data serve the animal's life. They will never know enough to fix a place if they break the lives they study. They will never earn trust if they take more than they give. They catch a second adult at palm ledge. The body is larger. The neck holds more muscle. The fit is easier. They follow the same steps with the same words. The repetition makes a safe room in time. They open the bag, and the animal moves, and the radio ticks, and the night goes on with two pulses now on the map. Two dots that will teach more than one dot can. Two lives that do not move the same. One uses ridge. One uses stream. One crosses a lane of open leaf under a hedge at midnight. One refuses open leaf under any light. They watch the receivers and learn what rain does to signal. They learn what wind does. They learn to tell the difference between a collar in a burrow and a collar under a root. They learn to hear when the animal is still for a long time in a place where it does not rest. They know what that might mean. They do not rush. They plan. They approach with care. They prepare for bad tasks with the same respect as good ones. A body must be found if a collar sits in one place long. A collar must be recovered. A cause must be noted. A death tells as much as a life. Tonight, no death. The pulses move. The dots spread. The team stands on a low hill and sweeps the beam. Left. Right. The pulse from the ridge life speeds for a minute and slows. Feeding. The pulse from the stream life moves steady and then sits. Drinking. They log. They smile. They pack and leave. They sleep. Mornings are for cleaning and records. The collars ping in bags when checked. The batteries get notes. The logs go to a table. The times become rows. The bearings become numbers. The numbers slide into a map. The map grows a cluster of excess. The cluster squirms like something alive. It is alive. It is a map of life. They meet a ranger and show the cluster on the ridge near a path men use to cut to a small field. The ranger sees that the path runs through core use. He rubs his jaw. He says he will talk to the men. He says the field is new and the path is new and both can move to the other side of the ridge. He says this because the map told him a truth he can carry into a talk. A man can move a path. A shy worker cannot. They meet a farmer and show him a cluster at a hedge he thought was an eyesore. He planned to cut it. The map shows that the hedge holds a corridor. The farmer looks and nods. He says he will leave the hedge and plant another. He says he will talk to his cousin to leave his hedge. He says he did not know hedges were roads. He thought they were mess. He smiles at his own old eyes. He says he will see hedges as roads now. They meet a woman who runs a school. They show her a map with no names and no dots that reveal burrows. They show only corridors and edges. She traces a finger along a line that runs behind her school and says children walk here. She says she will keep dogs tied at lunch. She says she will plant a row of shrubs by the wall. She asks if it matters. They say yes. She says then we will do it. She calls 3 children and says fetch water. She starts the work that minute. That is her way. They return to the ridge at night to track again. The radio clicks. The beam turns. The dots move on the page. The team follows at a distance. They kneel on stone and listen to a shy worker dig under leaf. The sound is small and warm. It makes the night feel full. They sit with that fullness and let it teach the shape of right. Right is not loud. Right is not quick. Right is a long chain of small acts held with care. They catch a juvenile by mistake at spring lip. The hands feel the weight and say too light. The mouth shows a tooth that says not yet. They do not fit a collar. They weigh and measure and release fast. The juvenile runs. The radio stays silent. The team logs the line and writes a note. Too small. Do not collar. Ethics hold when want presses. Want presses to know. Ethics say later. They catch a lactating female. They do not collar. They log and release. They move traps away. They give the female a wide circle of quiet. They do not seek a nest. They do not seek a kit. They leave. They find a collar that stopped on the map. They walk to the point by daylight with a ranger. They pass a line of dog prints. They find fur. They find a collar under leaves. They read the scene. They log a predation event. They carry the collar back. They do not speak for a time. The map loses a pulse. The plan shifts. The team meets with the ranger and the farmer whose dogs run at night. They speak with respect. They ask for rope and a fence fix. The farmer frowns. He shrugs. He agrees after the ranger offers posts and wire and a day. The collar returns to a pouch. It will go on another life or sit in a drawer and remind a hand that maps cost. They run a test. They put a collar on a stick and drag it under a hedge and over rocks to see how signal reads at corners. They log results. They build a small tool in the mind. They share it with another team across water. The other team writes back with a note on how wind off the sea at dusk makes signal lie. They add the note to their list. The list grows. Science stands on lists and hands. They track in rain. They track in mist. They track in wind. They track on still nights that feel like rooms with thick walls. They learn which nights a shy worker stays low and which nights it roams. They see the dots spread when season shifts. They see the dots contract when a dry month hits. The map breathes. They learn to read that breath like a doctor reads a chest. They write code for this map with help from a student who loves numbers. The code draws home range. The code shows core use. The code predicts where an edge must hold if this life will hold. The code is not the truth. The ground is the truth. The code serves the ground. The team knows the difference. They take the code to a meeting and talk slow. They say the map shows where to plant hedges. They say the map shows where to tie dogs. They say the map shows who to ask for help. They do not say the map gives orders. People do not love orders. They love choices. The map offers choices with teeth. They talk ethics in a circle at noon when wind dies and heat rises. They read a line that says stop before harm. They read a line that says release if stress does not fall in a minute. They read a line that says no collars on juveniles. No collars on mothers. No collars that rub. They read a line that says if a collar stops, check with care. They read a line that says no cameras in burrows. They read a line that says leave no lure that draws a cat. They hold these lines the way you hold a rope on a cliff. You do not let go when arms tire. You rest and hold. They clean bags. They wash with water and air. They dry in shade. Sun bakes scent in. Shade and wind lifted out. They store bags in tins with leaves that smell like the place. They keep their kit ready. They repair traps with pliers in quiet hours. They file edges. They tie sticks to doors so they lower without slam. They write notes on small cards and tape them to lids. They build a world where mistakes have no place to hide. They teach new hands. They show how to hold a bag. They show where to put thumbs. They show how to count. They show how to breathe so breath becomes a calm the animal can read. They let new hands make small errors in safe moments. They stop errors before harm. They praise when hands learn a weight by feel. They correct when hands want to move fast. Speed steals care. Care wins nights. They debrief. They ask what went wrong. A trap sat too close to a path. A collar pinched when a hand did not leave enough room for a breath at a bend. They fix. They do not blame. Blame is a waste. Fix is the point. They carry results to a house with a table. The table holds tea and bread. The farmer sits. The ranger sits. The woman with the folder sits. The teacher sits. The team lays a map between cups. The farmer sees his hedge as a road. The ranger sees his path as a wound. The teacher sees her wall as a chance to plant. The woman with the folder sees a page she can carry to a desk in a city. The team sees dots that turned into a plan. The room sees a shy worker as a life that draws people into care. They rise. They shake hands. They write small tasks on paper. Hedge. Rope. Post. Water. They put dates by them. They leave. Night returns. The radio ticks. The animal under the ridge works a seam. The animal near the stream drinks and feeds and drinks again. The team stands in dark and listens to a pulse live. They feel the rightness of it. They carry that feeling to the truck and to the table, and to the room with stamps. They carry it to the child who drew a long nose with a groove on a tooth. They carry it into tomorrow. Hands, rules, and radios made a map that breathes with a shy life. The work is simple and strict. The ethic is firm and kind. The dots led to hedges, posts, and choices. Next, we step out of the lab voice and into the public square. We ask why some animals become symbols and some stay shadows. We put a small, long-faced worker beside the mascots and see what culture lifts, what it forgets, and how stories can change that without turning truth into a costume. Cultural symbol or forgotten relic. Some animals earn billboards. They ride on school banners and soda cans. They become plush toys and airport murals. Their faces say protect this, and people nod. The shy worker of our nights does not live on billboards. It lives under leaves. It makes clicks so soft that even people who love night miss them. This chapter asks why some lives become symbols and others stay shadows, and what it takes to lift a quiet worker into public care without turning it into a costume. Start with what people see. Round eyes. Big colors. Slow moves. These pull a gaze and hold it. A sloth hangs and smiles in the mind, even if the mouth says it does not. A panda sits like a child and eats. A penguin waddles. These bodies lend themselves to a human script. The shy worker is not round. It does not look back with wet eyes. It has a long snout and small eyes and a tail without hair. It moves in a shuffle that looks off until the ground hides the feet, and then the shape makes sense. It lives at night and avoids light. It clicks instead of sings. It does not wait for cameras. It makes a symbol's life hard. Also, what people fear. Snakes have fans, but also a weight of dread in many places. Bats too. The shy worker sits near this in the mind because of a bite that stings and a word that carries more dread than truth. Venom. The truth is smaller, stranger, useful in science later. The word travels faster than the nuance and makes people think of fangs and swelling and panic. The shy worker does not sell well in this package. It needs a different box. It needs quiet facts and a voice that does not shout. Then, what the market can carry. Funding follows eyes. Eyes follow stories that feel simple. An ancient mammal with a groove on a tooth that carries saliva to prey in the dark on two islands does not fit a simple sentence. It fits many small ones. That is fine for a book. It is work for a billboard. We make the billboard anyway. We write fewer words and hope a face in profile can hold a second, and a mind will pause and ask what is that and why does it matter. We ask a museum curator what draws crowds. She says motion. She says color. She says size. Then she leans in and says context. If you can put a small life inside a big truth, people stay. If you can make a room dark and turn a small click into a heartbeat in speakers, and show a shallow scrape where claws lifted soil, and let a long snout move in a loop of film at ground level, while a voice says this kept the forest breathing, people listen. They do not need plush teeth. They need a reason to care while they stand. We walk through a hall where big bones rule. A jaw of a whale. A leg of a giant ground thing. Children swarm. The shy worker sits in a corner under dim light in a case that looks like a cave. Few stop. The label is a block. The words are small. The case says do not touch. The room says run and squeal. The case loses. A child pulls a parent toward the big bones. The shy worker becomes air. The museum sees this. It can change. It can make a small, dark room with sound and leaf and a red lamp glow and a soft, low voice and a single clear loop of a long snout moving soil. It can add a map with two islands glowing. It can write one line large. It still lives. That line can stop feet. It has to. We visit a school. The walls show pictures of big cats and birds with bright backs and sea turtles with sorrowful eyes. A child's drawing of a shy worker sits by a door. It is small and easy to miss. The teacher lifts it and says this is ours. This lives here. The class hums. Some children nod. Some do not. They have not seen one. They have seen cats and dogs and crabs and pigs. The teacher dims lights and plays audio. A soft click in the room. She says this is the sound of work at night in the ground that feeds your garden. The room stills. A sound can do what a face cannot. It can become a code in the head. Children click with tongues and laugh, and then stop and listen again. A symbol begins with a sound and a sentence that ties it to them. We ask a radio host why some stories carry. He says names. He says hooks. He says a twist. He says a kind voice. The shy worker has a twist. Venom in a mammal. We will not use it as a hook to scare. We will use it to say the world is stranger than the book in your head, and that is a reason to keep the night whole. We say it clean. We do not shout. We do not show bites. We show a groove on a tooth and a lab hand later. Here we show a face in profile and a snout in motion and a map with small lights that mark where life still works. We sit with a cultural worker who runs a small festival. She says she wants a symbol that is not a flag or a bird. She wants something that says island at night and old and still here. She says she tried a bat, and people thought of fear not fruit. She tried a frog, and people thought of rain not care. She sees the shy worker drawing and points. That. It is odd. It is ours. We help her write a poster with a shadow in leaf and a glow of a red lamp and a line at the bottom. Keep space in the night. We print few and post them where feet can see at child height. We test if a small thing can make a room in the mind. We talk to a marketer for a drink brand who says the shy worker is not cute. He says cuteness sells. He says danger sells. He says science sells if you add a scientist with hair and wind. We say no. We say this is not a drink ad. We say if you want to help, put money in hedges and not in a bottle with a snout on it. He laughs and says you people are hard to work with. He writes a check anyway because his sister loved science as a child and drew a long-nosed animal once after a field talk. She gave him the drawing, and he kept it in a box with ticket stubs. People are like that. They hold small things long. We go to a park office where a ranger shows badges from school visits. He keeps them on a nail. He says he shows children the map with no names and a line with dots. He says he tells them this dot is small, this dot is shy, this dot needs dark and leaf and a dog on a rope. He says the children get it. He says they go home and tug a rope when a dog runs free. He says some parents get mad and some tie dogs. He says both reactions matter. The first shows the symbol hit a nerve. The second shows it hit a habit. We sit with a grandmother who remembers when stories lived on porches and not on screens. She says a story needs a thing you can hold and a truth you can live. She holds a small wooden figure a neighbor carved. It has a long nose and a bare tail. It is rough. It feels good in her hand. She says it reminds her to pull a little leaf over soil when she waters at dusk. She says a symbol is a tool if it ends in a hand motion. Not a hashtag. A hand motion. She says this with a smile that dares a screen to change a slope. We consider fear. A small mammal with venom scares people. We could drop the word. We will not lie. We will frame it. We will say a groove on a tooth moves saliva that slows worms and small prey. We will say this tool is old and rare and worth a quiet awe. We will say it is not a snake in fur. We will say if you handle with care, you do not get hurt. We will show hands in bags, not bites. The symbol must live in respect. It cannot live in lurid. Lurid sells quick and kills trust. We look at pride. Islands need it. Pride can run on a track that hurts when it turns into us against them in ways that miss the point. Pride can also hold a shy worker high and say we kept this line alive while the world broke things like it. That pride feeds hedges. It ties dogs. It plants shrubs by walls. It funds rangers. It keeps boys with slings from throwing at everything that moves. We speak to pride as a path to care, not as a stick to hit neighbors. We make a simple kit. A print file for a poster with a long snout in shadow. A sound file of a click. A one-page guide for teachers. A one-page guide for farmers. A set of small images for phones that do not eat data. A script for a one-minute radio piece that runs at dusk. A stencil for a wall that puts a shadow in a lane. A guide for a hedge. A guide for tying dogs. A street card that says leave leaf under fences. These are not products. These are tools. They give people ways to use a symbol. We test at a market. A stall sells cassava and plantains. A woman tapes a poster to the crate. A child hears the click on a loop from a small speaker she hides under the table. People ask, what is that? The woman answers in simple lines. A shy worker with a long nose that keeps the ground right. It works at night. We keep the night for it. Tie dogs. Leave leaf. Plant shrubs by walls. People nod. Some laugh. Some say, what a strange world. Some buy plantains. Some tug a child's hand and say, listen. The child clicks back. A symbol breathed for a minute in heat and noise and did not die. We show the symbol to a man who writes for a paper. He asks for angle. We say the angle is small. He frowns. He needs a headline. We give him one that is true and not loud. Ancient night worker still here. Keep room for it. He laughs and says that will not trend. We say trend is not the point. He writes it anyway on a slow day. It runs. A teacher cuts it out and tapes it to a wall. A child reads it and draws a profile with a long nose. The paper goes in a box. That is enough. We map where symbols live now. In centers. In parks. In airports. The shy worker will not live in an airport mural soon. It should live in the minds of people who walk lanes at night. It should live in the minds of people who run offices that cut checks for hedges and posts. It should live in a child's hand as a carved shape or a paper cutout. It should live in a ranger's folder as a dot that wins a patrol. It should live in a museum as a room of sound, not a case with a block of text. We protect the shy worker from the symbol too. Symbols can eat their subjects. They can turn a night into a stage. They can bring feet to places that fail under feet. We keep exact places quiet. We show corridors without showing doors. We celebrate without creating a parade on a ridge. We tell people to care at home and in town and at the edge in habits more than in hikes. We ask creators not to chase a click in the brush for a photo. We give them an image that works without a breach. We make the good choice easier. We close with a scene that looks small and holds the whole argument. A child sits at a table with paper and a pencil dull at the tip. She draws a long nose. She draws a tail with rings. She draws a leaf and a root and a small coin of soil. She draws a line and writes three words she learned in class that morning. Keep night safe. She tapes the paper to a wall by a door. A dog sleeps under the table with a rope tied to the leg of a chair. The rope is loose and long enough for comfort. The door opens. Air moves. The paper flutters. The child smiles and clicks with her tongue. The mother laughs and says not now. The child clicks again, softer. She will grow up with this sound. She will meet a hedge and think road. She will meet a poster and think neighbor. She will vote one day for a plan that keeps a line of shade between two fields. She will speak at a meeting and say the shy worker works the soil at night. People will blink at the odd sentence and then nod. Symbols do not have to shout. They can whisper and still win. A symbol is a tool. It should fit a hand. It should change a habit. It should not distort the life it lifts. The shy worker will never be a plush toy in every shop. It can be a sound in a room, a dot on a map, a line on a poster, a hedge in a lane, a rope on a dog, a pride in a voice. Next, we step into the room where symbols meet budgets and borders. We walk the conservation battlefield where parks hold lines, rangers make calls, communities plant hedges, and offices weigh maps against short-term plans. We keep the ethic tight and the facts simple. We ask what holds and how to help it hold. The conservation battlefield. Maps do not save places. People do. Maps help. They draw lines where shade must stand and where water must slow. They point to hedges that are roads and gullies that are wounds. But a map needs hands, and hands need time, and time needs money, and money needs will. This chapter walks the rooms and ridges where those trades happen. It stays plain. It shows how a shy night worker survives when the right choices stack, and how it loses ground when they don't. We open with a ranger at dawn. He checks a gate, notes a broken chain, and ties a temporary fix with rope from his pack. He radios the office. Signal cuts on the slope. He writes a note on paper. Paper never drops a call. He tucks the note under the chain, so the next shift sees why the fix looks rough. He steps off the track into brush and walks a line he knows by foot, not by sign. The line runs where cats hunt and dogs press. He looks for snares. He looks for cut stems. He looks for prints in dust where dust still lies under trees. He reads like a tracker and writes like a clerk. His ledger is higher than his salary. He keeps writing. He meets a farmer at a fence with posts that lean. The farmer's cows like to push where posts are old. The ranger offers two new posts and a day with a hammer in exchange for a promise to tie dogs at night. The farmer nods. He says bring nails. The ranger says done. They walk the fence and mark places to mend. They talk soil and rain, and the way the stream turned last season after the road went in. They don't say selenodon because that word does not buy nails. They say keep leaf. They say shade. They say the fence will hold cows and the hedge will hold soil. The farmer says yes. The ranger believes him because he heard the man call a dog back last night. We step into a park office with a table covered in maps. A community leader, two rangers, a teacher, and a forester sit with cups of sweet coffee. The wall fan moves hot air. The map shows corridors in green and hazard lines in red. Dots mark where the shy worker's collars told the truth. The teacher points to a corridor behind the school. She asks for shrubs and a fence patch. The forester says the nursery has seedlings ready. The community leader says she can call families for a planting day if the rangers bring water and tools. The ranger says he can spare a truck. They set a date. Small logistics make big lines hold. They write each item on a pad. The teacher snaps a photo and shares it in a group chat. The plan is real now. Plans die in heads. They live in lists. We walk a dry ridge where dogs ran last week. The posts stand new now. Wire tight. A gate hangs level. A rope lies ready at dusk by the door of the farmer's house. His son ties the dog after dinner. The dog huffs and lies down. The father nods at the ridge. He says the ranger worked hard with him today. He says his cows won't stray. He says he'll try the rope for a month. He will forget one night. He will remember the next. That is how habit turns. We sit with an NGO lead in a small room with a humming fridge and stacks of folders. She writes budgets with a blunt pencil. She says the money will cover seedlings and posts and two part-time salaries if she slices a line for fuel and asks the ranger to share a truck. She says the grant wants a photo of a child with a plant and a quote about hope. She does that. She also writes a line the grant didn't ask for. 2 kilometers of hedge planted along known corridor. Dogs tied at night by 10 families. She keeps metrics the grant didn't think of because she knows what holds the ridge. She knows hope is a word. Hedge is a thing. We move to a meeting at a municipal office where a man in a pressed shirt sits behind a desk with a calendar that shows last month. The community leader asks for a permit to plant shrubs along an easement. The man says the road crew might need the shoulder. The ranger shows a map that proves cars never pull there and that the shrubs will not block sight lines. The teacher says children walk there and need shade. The forester says the species list includes shrubs that grow low and hold soil. The man frowns and says the forms are long. The NGO lead puts pre-filled forms on the desk. He signs. It took 3 cups of coffee and 4 bodies in one room. Paper moved because people moved. We head back outside. Planting day. A line of kids with small shovels. A coil of hose. A pickup with seedlings. A woman who knows how to set a plant straight and tuck soil so roots touch. She moves down the line correcting wrists, not words. A ranger drives posts. A farmer ties the hose to a pipe. The kids water too much. The woman laughs and says a little less. The kids water less. The hedge begins. It is a row of small, tired plants that look like they will die if the sun glares hard. Many die. Many live. The line holds enough. A month from now, leaves knit. A year from now, cats pause at shade and choose to cross elsewhere. Dogs see brush and turn back on a rope. The shy worker crosses under leaves and feeds in seams. It works. We move into a room where enforcement lives. A ranger lays photos of snares on a table. He points to a valley where snares cluster. The map layer with collars shows a corridor there. The officer in charge says he will send 2 men at dusk. He says he has 1 truck and 1/2 tank. The NGO lead says she will move a fuel line and send cash. The officer nods and writes an order. That night, the men walk. They cut snares. They speak to a hunter they know. They tell him where not to set. They don't threaten first. They ask. The hunter shrugs. He says he needs meat. The officer says hunt pigs. The hunter says pigs are smart. The officer says he'll walk with him on Saturday. Sometimes law is a walk. Sometimes it is a fine. Here, a walk works because it keeps a man out of a corridor that can't spare a death. We walk into a hillside community hall. Tin roof. Wooden benches. A mural of a river with fish and children. The community leader stands and speaks in a clear, slow voice. She says the stream runs browner after storms. She says the slope slid near houses last rain. She says the hedge will help. She says the ranger needs help to cut snares. She says the dog rope we gave will keep goats safe and night workers safe. She holds up a short rope with a clip. She holds a photo of a long snout in leaf. She says do not post locations. She says care does not need likes. She says tie dogs, leave leaf, plant shrubs. She stops. She waits. A man stands and says yes. Another stands and says my cousin needs work, can he plant? Yes. A woman stands and says my child drew the long nose and hates when our dog runs. She smiles. She sits. The room moves. Rooms move ranges when the sentences are short and the asks are clear. We visit a place where the battle is harder. A development plan runs a road through a strip of brush that links two patches of forest. The strip is a single lane for the shy worker. The forester shows a map with a detour that adds 200 meters and saves the lane. The engineer says no. The community leader says yes. The ranger says yes. The NGO lead says she will pay for extra posts and two culverts. The engineer shrugs and says he must ask his boss. The boss drives out. He sees the slope. He sees the stream. He sees a risk if the road runs the first line. Not to the shy worker. To his road. He moves the line. Self-interest often aligns with care. People call that luck. It is a map well used. We step into a nursery. Rows of small plants in black bags. The forester runs a thumb over leaves and tells names. He says these shrubs grow low and knit soil. He says this tree grows slow but holds birds that hunt cats' kittens. He laughs at his own logic and then says it is true. He says diversity is not a sermon. It is insurance. He walks us to a corner where seedlings for another place grow. He says send money for sacks and soil mix. He says glory goes to big trees in photos. He says corridors get built from shrubs. He pat the leaves like a worker proud of tools. He is. We ride with a patrol at night. Two rangers. One community guard. A beam from the truck cuts brush. They drive slow. They stop at a cut where boys made a path. They move the path with stones. They leave a gap for foot and block it for wheels. Small axe at dark hours hold a map steady. They reach a bend by a stream where a new sign reads no light past this point. The sign did not do that. The talk in the hall did. The sign helps the person who wants to do right and needs a reason to tell a friend to turn the lamp off. People like reasons they can point to. A sign serves that. We sit with a land use planner in a city office who reads a proposal to clear a field at an edge. She holds the corridor map. She overlays it on the plan. She draws a line and writes deny or revise. She writes to the engineer about a hedge and a shift of 50 meters. She writes to the ranger about patrols. She writes to the NGO lead about shrubs. She is the hinge between maps and machines. She is invisible when things work. She gets blamed when they don't. She works anyway. We cross water and sit with a counterpart in the other country. He has the same maps. He has different stamps. He has the same problems. Dogs. Cats. Edges. Roads. He shows where his patrols cut snares. He shows a new hedge planted by a school. He shows a permit a man wants to clear near a stream. He wrote deny. The man appeals. The planner meets the ranger and the community leader and the teacher and the NGO lead. He sees the same faces, different names. He smiles. He says the shy worker crosses our line and your line. He says please keep your hedge. We will keep ours. Two countries share rain. They can share hedges. We walk a farm where a woman grew up with dogs tied at night. She learned that from her mother. She ties now. Her neighbor does not. She speaks to him at dusk with a rope in her hand. She says tie. He laughs. She says your goat gets stolen when your dog runs, and he is tired by dawn. He nods. He ties. She checks in a week. He tied four nights and forgot three. She brings him a bigger bucket for water by the tie. She brings him a photo of a long nose above leaf. She says this keeps soil at your yams. He nods. He ties five nights next week. This is how the battle is won. Rope by rope. We sit with a scientist who writes a report that says the corridors we planted were used by collared animals. He writes a line that says tied dogs cut predation events near three homes. He writes a line that says snares declined in a valley after a walk with hunters. He writes a line that says two road plans moved to spare lanes. He writes a line that says one permit denied. He writes a line that says one bed of shrubs died in drought and we will replant in rainy season. Honesty earns more help than hype. We stand again with the ranger at dawn. He checks the temporary rope chain and sees a new chain and a new lock that the office sent after his note. He smiles. He walks the line into brush. He cuts a snare. He picks up a can. He pushes a sapling back where boys stepped on it and broke a stem. He ties it to a stick. He keeps moving. He is not paid to fix cans. He fixes cans. He is not thanked for saplings. He ties them anyway. He is the person maps need. We end this chapter in the place where all these lines meet. A hedge at a wall behind a school. A rope on a dog. A sign at a bend. A path moved by stones. A corridor map on a table. A ranger with a hammer. A farmer with a post. A teacher with a hose. A child with a small shovel. A scientist with a receiver. An NGO lead with a blunt pencil and a budget. A planner with a stamp and a mind. A community leader with a voice that can fill a hall. A shy worker with a long snout that moves leaf and a mouth that clicks once in a room of leaves. That click is the sound of a battle won for a night. The battlefield is not a war of grand charges. It is a string of small stands that hold a line of shade and a layer of leaf. It is rope and hedge and map and a calm voice at a desk. It is a ranger's walk and a farmer's fence and a child's drawing taped to a door. Next, we step into the lab where a tooth shows a groove and a gland speaks in a language of molecules. We keep it human. We keep it plain. We show how venom in a mammal is not a scare, but a clue to evolution and a reason to protect a line that still works. Danger within. Venom in a mammal. A tooth can carry a secret for a million years and still work tonight. In a small lab lit by steady lamps, a lower jaw rests on black foam. The incisor runs long and slender. Along its inner face is a narrow channel, fine as a thread carved by habit. This is the groove. It is not a rumor. It is not a metaphor. It is a path. Saliva moves along it when jaws close on prey. That saliva holds compounds that change what happens next in the dark under leaves. We stay plain. We speak about form and function like a carpenter talks about a tool. The animal we follow has a gland near the jaw that makes saliva. In that saliva, parts exist that slow or subdue small prey. Worms that twist. Insects that fight with legs and shells. The groove on the tooth brings that saliva toward the bite. It does not spray. It does not drip for theater. It follows the tooth into a wound when pressure meets flesh. The design is quiet. Quiet designs last. A toxinologist stands at a bench and points with a pen to a diagram. He traces from gland to duct to groove to tip. He does not sell a thrill. He says the system likely evolved to make the animal a better hunter in the night. A beetle under a log is harder to eat when it kicks and grabs. A worm slips from jaws. A drop of the right saliva can slow the fight and give the hunter time to close, chew, swallow. This is not a weapon for war with dogs or cats or people. It is a tool for dinner, tuned to a menu written in soil. He holds a clear vial with a tiny label that lists a number. Inside, a fraction of a drop sits like a thought. It came from careful work under permits and rules. Sometimes saliva is collected by letting the animal bite a soft pad that holds fibers, and then washing those fibers in a way that does not hurt the animal. Samples are small because the animal is small. The lab does not waste what the mouth gives. It tests the sample in assays that read how a piece of saliva affects cells or nerves or muscles of model systems we use to understand life. The lab writes results as lines on graphs and small numbers in rows. The numbers tell a simple story. Some parts in the saliva slow movement in prey. Some parts do little. The mix matters. A comparative physiologist brings out skulls. A shrew's jaw lies beside our shy worker's jaw. The shrew also bears grooves on lower incisors in some species. Its saliva can subdue prey. The pattern repeats in a few mammals, scattered across the tree of life. It is rare. Rare does not mean wrong. It means a path exists that few followed. The shrew took it. The shy worker took it. The path may be older than both, lost and found again. Or it may be a case where bodies solve the same problem twice. The lab does not argue like a headline. It places the jaws side by side and lets the grooves speak. We move from skulls to slices. A micro-CT scan glows on a monitor. It shows the tooth from root to tip. The groove is shallow but clear. The channel in the jaw that carries fluid from gland to mouth shows as a darker line. The image is clean. It looks like a river map under snow. The tech traces the path and nods. She knows what the picture means in the field. It means this animal is built to use chemistry in its bite. It means the field team keeps hands clear of teeth not because the animal is a danger to humans, but because respect is a rule, and because any bite in the dark is a mistake to avoid. We set the lab aside for the body. In the field, a handler lifts the head gently with cloth between fingers and jaw and looks at the mouth. The lower incisors show. The groove runs. The handler does not touch the tooth. He notes the feature and lowers the head. He does not provoke a bite. He does not collect saliva on a night like this. He came to measure and release. The lab's work happens with another animal under different rules and times. The field's work centers on life, not sample. Back in the lab, a row of small dishes holds solutions. A pipette moves drops. The team tests how saliva affects small tissue samples from standard models. The details can grow into jargon fast. We keep the shape. Some components slow nerve signals that tell muscles to move. Some components seem to thin barriers, letting other parts of saliva reach targets. The mix is not a single bullet. It is a soup built by time to help with worms, grubs, small vertebrates now and then. The toxicity in the context of prey is the point. The lab does not test it on things that do not belong. It does not make a show of power. It learns how a life eats. We ask the toxinologist if this matters to medicine. He shrugs and smiles. He says maybe. He says often when you look close at a small system, you find a part that works as a tool in a drug later. He says if that happens, good. He says the better reason to care is that this is a line of life that uses chemistry in a way few mammals do, and that tells us something about how bodies solve problems. He says science would miss a page if this line vanished. He says he prefers pages to remain. We talk about myths. People hear venom and think of collapse and swelling and death. The lab speaks with care. The shy worker's bite in a human is rare because humans do not hold it wrong when they follow rules. When bites happen, they hurt and can numb. They are not a show. They are not a film with fangs and poison. They are a fact to respect. The field uses gloves. The lab uses common sense. The public uses distance. Everyone goes home fine. We show a clip of a lab hand placing a skull on foam. The hand is steady. The skull is small and looks like a ship. High prow. Long keel. The teeth line the jaw with points and planes that tell you what the mouth does. Slice through soft. Grip hard things. Carry a groove where fluid runs. The hand turns the skull. The camera rests on the groove. It is narrow. It shines in light. It looks like a road etched on a bone city. We sit with a historian of science who tells about old papers that called these animals living fossils. He waves away the term as lazy. He says the groove is old, yes. The jaw shape is old. The snout form is old. The life is not frozen. It fed this week. It dug last night. A fossil does not dig. A fossil does not click. The lab work and the field work meet in this truth. We study a living system. We use words that keep it living in the mind. We ask the field lead how the lab changes his nights. He says the lab's images taught him how to look for the groove quick and sure. He says knowing the groove carries saliva that subdues prey reminds him to respect a mouth that need not be large to be a tool. He says he teaches new hands to see the groove and to keep thumbs clear. He says he carries a story to people who ask why protect a small thing with a long nose. He says this. It is one of the few mammals that hunts with chemistry in the mouth. It is old and rare and works still. That matters. We bring the camera into a room where a paraffin block sits on a microtome. A thin ribbon curls as the blade moves. The slice falls into a bath. A slide lifts it. Stains fix shape and function in color. Under a scope, the gland tissue shows cells lined up like bricks in a wall. Ducts run between them. The tech traces a duct to where it meets the mouth. She nods again and takes a photo. The lab keeps records that match images to individuals by number. The numbers never become names in public. Privacy extends to animals in a way here. You protect not just burrows from a map, but bodies from a story that might draw feet. We step back from microscopes to draw the line to our island nights. The groove and the gland exist in bodies that need them because they hunt in soil where prey is small and armored. The tool kept this life fed when larger things fell. It let a small hunter work alone, at night in cover, with quiet. It asks of us that we keep night dark, keep cover thick, keep edges soft. It also asks that we keep the animal away from hands that would grab it for a show. The ethic is simple. Respect the mouth. Respect the life. Respect the night. A comparative shot shows a shrew taking a worm. Quick bite. A pause. The worm slows. The shrew eats. The next shot shows our shy worker in red light under a log. It bites a grub. It holds. It chews. It swallows. The rhythm is slower because the body is larger, the prey different, the night a different shape. The pattern is the same. Chemistry as a helper, not as a spectacle. We sit with a small group of students at a table with models. A jaw model with a groove. A skull print from a 3D scan. A plastic sheet that overlays ducts. They pass the jaw around. They touch the groove. They say it feels like a scratch. They look at a simple diagram of a gland. They nod. One student says it is like a pocket knife in your mouth. The teacher smiles and says yes. Another says it is scary. The teacher shakes her head and says it is a tool for food, not for you. She points at a poster on the wall. Tie dogs. Leave leaf. Plant shrubs. She points at the jaw again. She says protect this tool by protecting the places where it works. We address a worry people carry. Does studying saliva tempt people to take animals for labs? The answer is no when rules are strong and watched. The lab uses methods that do not harm. The field supplies no bodies. Samples, when needed, come from work done with permits and care, often tied to animals that died of causes the field recorded. The lab never drives the field to catch more. The field never turns the lab into a reason to risk life. The system stands on respect. Break respect, and the work ends. That is written on the wall in the lab, where anyone can read it. We return to the jaw on foam. The lab tech cleans dust off with a soft brush. She wraps the skull in tissue and returns it to a box. She writes a line in a log. The box goes to a shelf. The room quiets. The lights dim. The grooves in the jaws on the shelf hold no saliva now. They hold a pattern for minds to learn from. The patterns go from shelf to screen to hands that lift a bag in the night. The circle closes. We end the chapter in the field again. A handler steadies a bag. The head emerges. The mouth opens a little. The groove shows. The handler's thumb stays clear. The animal moves onto leaf. It clicks once. It vanishes. The camera rests on the space where it was. The voice says one line. Respect the mouth, respect the night, and the tool works where it belongs. The danger within is a tool, not a threat. A groove carries a saliva that helps a small hunter make a living in dark soil. That simple fact ties lab to leaf, and it gives one more reason to keep nights calm and edges soft. Next, we walk into classrooms and village paths. We watch children learn the click and the hedge and the dog rope. We see how a shy worker becomes a neighbor in minds that will vote, plant, and tie tomorrow. Children of the Island. A story lasts when a child repeats it without being asked. This chapter lives in classrooms, lanes, and small rooms with fans that click. It shows what happens when a shy night worker steps out of rumor and into lessons, drawings, hedges, and ropes. It stays simple. It keeps the ethic tight. It avoids spectacle. It turns care into habits a child's hand can hold. Morning in a school near a ridge. The room is bright. Walls wear maps and letters. A teacher rings a small bell. Children settle with pencils that have lost their erasers and notebooks with three names on the cover as owners pass them down. The teacher writes three words on the board. Keep night safe. She doesn't explain. She lets the words sit like a seed in shallow soil. She turns the lights off. The fans still spin. The room breathes in dim. She plays a sound. A faint click. Another. Children giggle and then fall quiet. She says this is a neighbor you rarely see. It works when you sleep. It opens soil. It keeps water moving down and in. It helps your garden without asking. It has a long snout and small eyes and a tail without hair. It does not want to be held. It wants the night. It wants leaf. It wants you to tie your dog. She draws a quick shape. Long nose. Small eyes. Ring tail. She draws a shallow scrape and a small coin of soil. She draws a hedge and a rope. She draws a house and a lane. She says a word twice. Selenodon. Children say it back like a song. The word sits strange and then settles like a pebble in a pocket. One child raises a hand and says, "My father says it bites." The teacher nods. She says it will bite if you grab it. She says you will not grab it. She says we respect mouths. We respect the night. We respect our dogs by tying them. She does not say venom or gland. She keeps to the hand and the rope and the hedge. They go outside to a strip of dirt behind the school where a wall meets a lane. The sun is low. The air is already hot. A ranger waits with shrubs in black bags. A woman from the nursery shows how to cut the bag, loosen roots, and set the plant straight. Children take turns. Hands small and quick. Water sloshes from buckets. Mud splashes shirts. Laughter. The line of shrubs curves with the wall. A child pats soil around a stem with both hands. He whispers grow. He has no idea plants here in their way. He does it anyway. Belief is a tool. Back inside, the teacher gives each child a paper cutout of the shy worker. Long nose. Tail rings. A small note on the back. Tie dogs. Leave leaf. Plant shrubs. Draw what you saw. Children color with pencils dull as memories and make lines bright with pressure. They tape the cutouts to the wall by the door. Each time the door opens, paper noses flutter. The room seems to breathe with small night workers that move in wind. In a village hall at dusk, a youth club meets. 10 children sit on benches. A woman sets a small radio on a table. The ranger stands with a map that has no dots for burrows, only corridors. He keeps secrets where they belong. He points to lines behind houses. He says this is where your dogs run. He asks who can tie a dog. Hands rise. He gives each child a short rope with a clip. He shows how to tie a quick release knot on a chair leg. He says water by the rope. Shade by the rope. He says tie after dinner. He says untie at dawn. He says try a week. He says bring your parents next time if they ask why. He gives them a poster. Keep night safe. He asks one to read it loud. She does. They walk in a line outside. Headlamps off. The moon climbs. They stop at a hedge the school planted. The shrubs look tired and proud. A child points to a small scrape under the first plant. Fresh. Clean. A coin of soil sits beside it. The group whispers. A boy crouches and puts his nose near the scrape and smells earth. He smiles. He will tell his grandmother in the morning as he fills a pail at the tap. He will say the shy worker passed by the school. She will nod and say leave leaf under the hedge and tie the dog tonight and do not put wood ash in the lane because it seals soil. He will nod and not understand until rain comes and water moves right. In a town square, an art day runs. A science teacher and a painter share a table. They lay out chalk and charcoal. They draw leaf shapes on pavement and ask children to add a long snout moving through. A child draws a groove on a tooth with a thin line of white. He heard this detail in class. He says it makes it eat better. He says it like he says a fishing net has floats. Useful. Normal. No fear. A woman from the bakery brings bread and points to the chalk leaf. She says this is pretty. She asks what it is. The teacher says a neighbor. She points to a poster with a shadow and a red glow. She reads one line. Keep space in the night. The baker nods. She says I can turn off my porch light at 10. She does that week. An elder sits outside her house shelling peas. A child walks by with a rope and stops. He says, may I tie your dog tonight? She raises an eyebrow. He says, please. He says it helps keep night workers safe. She smiles. She says dog bites if you tie wrong. He says I know the knot. He ties the rope to a post and clips it to the dog's collar and ties the quick release on the other end. The dog pulls and then lies down because shade sits sweet. The child shows the water bucket. The elder nods and pats his head like he is 6. He is 12. He blushes and stands tall and leaves. She watches him go and says under her breath, boy might save a slope. In a youth club room, the group builds a small model with sticks and string. They make a corridor and a lane and a house and a dog and a hedge. They push a clay selenodon under the hedge and a clay cat on a wall. They pretend it is night and move them. They tell stories. One says the cat went for the coop. Another says the dog ran and scared it away and the rope stopped the dog from running into the hedge and scaring the shy worker. They laugh. They argue. They set rules for the model. No light at the lane. Hedge must be watered. Dog gets water and shade. The clay pieces move. The rules sink in deeper than words in a list. Play builds habits. We sit in a classroom as a guest speaks. He is a ranger. He puts a receiver on the table and an antenna on the floor. He turns a dial. The box ticks. Children lean in. He says this is how we know where to plant shrubs. He points to a blank map where only corridors show. He says this is the safe way to share. He says we do not show houses. He says we do not show holes. He says we protect animals with our mouths too. Children nod. One says I will not post a burrow. He is 10 and has a phone. The ranger smiles with relief and hope. We go to a music room. A drum. A maraca. A guitar. A girl writes a short chant. Tie dogs. Leave leaf. Plant shrubs. She adds a click with tongue on the offbeat. The room laughs. They practice. They get rhythm. They take it to the school yard and chant while they water shrubs. Neighbors hear a strange song and look. They smile and shake heads and tap feet. A boy carries the rhythm home. He taps it on a table at dinner. His father asks what that noise is. He answers and says need rope. His father sighs and says cut a piece from the old fish line. Tie the dog. The boy ties. The dog sleeps. The father smiles because the house is quiet. Music moves choices. In a small library, a volunteer sets up a corner with a jaw model and a plastic sheet that overlays a groove. She places a tray with leaf and a small trowel and a shallow bowl with damp soil. Children dig with fingers and place fake beetles under leaf and pull them out. They set a toy snout on the model and pretend to move the groove to the bite. They do not need labels. They need a feel. The librarian keeps the corner quiet. She says read and whisper, and click once if you find a fake grub. Children click in corners and giggle, and are shushed and giggle again. The sound becomes part of the room. An outreach worker goes to a church group and speaks for 5 minutes after songs. She says tie dogs. Leave leaf. Plant shrubs. She does not argue theology. She does not mention science words. She tells a story about a slope that held because a shy worker stirred soil and a hedge knitted shade and a dog stayed tied. She holds a rope like a prop. The pastor nods. He says we pray for rain to come right. He says this rope is a way to help prayer do work. People nod. Someone brings rope from a shed and cuts 10 lengths. Hands take them. We sit with a child who used to throw stones at any animal that moved because he liked to hit things that moved. He now taps a stick rhythm on a kinbaya hedge and watches leaves for a long nose. He says he hasn't seen one, and he doesn't mind. He says he likes the idea of a neighbor he rarely sees. He says he likes the click more than the sight. He says he wants to be a ranger. He says he will carry a rope and a radio and a map. He says he will hold hands still so a bag calms. He learned this from a woman who came to school and talked about breath and maps. He will grow. He will change. The idea might stay. A teacher runs a night walk called listening. No lamps. One adult per child. They walk in a line to a hedge and sit. They stay 10 minutes. They breathe. They listen. Dogs. Crickets. A frog. A small rustle. The teacher says a rule. You do not speak. You click once if you hear the click. A child clicks loud, and the group shakes with quiet laughter. A second click comes from the hedge. Children freeze. It might be a hinge in the mind. It might be a hinge in leaf. It doesn't matter. They felt the night as a room where they are guests. That is the point. We step into a vocational class. A group builds fence posts. They learn knots. They sandwood. They put in a small line here. They build short posts spaced for shrubs. They drill holes to set drip lines. They carry posts to a lane and sink them in soil. A woman shows where to line them so the hedge will take. Boys who love hammers learn to plant. Girls who love to draw a plan on a wall to show neighbors how to copy the line. The class feels useful. That keeps students in seats. Uses a glue. A health worker visits homes with a short talk. She says tying dogs helps dogs. They drink and rest. They live longer. They bite less. They do not fight as often. She says it helps children. Dogs on ropes do not chase and knock them down. She says it helps night workers. She does not draw a long line of ecology. She gives 2 reasons a parent can love now and 1 reason a child will love at night. She brings a rope. She ties a knot. She leaves. In a small group at a clinic, a mother asks if the shy worker is dangerous. A nurse says respect the mouth. Do not hold. If bitten, wash with running water, bind with a clean leaf, come here if you feel sick. She does not scare. She does not lie. She repeats respect the mouth. The mother nods. She tells her child to respect the mouth. The child clicks. The nurse smiles. We meet a teenager with a phone. She starts a feed that is quiet. No location tags. No faces. Only hands watering shrubs and tying ropes and lines on paper that say tie dogs and leave leaf and plant shrubs. She films shadows moving under hedges. She plays clicks on loops. She writes 1 sentence per post. She does not chase numbers. She chases habits. People follow. They send photos of ropes and hedges and soil coins in morning light. She saves them. She prints a few and tapes them to a hall wall at a school. Children point and say mine. They feel part of a long line that bridges towns. We go to a classroom again. The teacher holds up a jaw model. She asks what this groove does. A child says it carries spit to slow worms. The class laughs. The teacher nods. She says yes. She says we respect mouths. She says again keep night safe. She asks who tied a dog this week. Hands. She asks who watered shrubs. Hands. She asks who left leaf under a fence. Some hands. She nods. She says small acts hold nights. She asks who wants to be a ranger. Many hands. She asks who wants to be a teacher. More hands. She asks who will tell a child one day to tie a dog and leave leaf. All hands. Out in a lane, a boy plays with a stick and a can. He taps the rhythm the girl wrote. Tie dogs. Leave leaf. Plant shrubs. He clicks on the offbeat. A woman watering plants hums the tune. A man fixing a gate smiles and taps his wrench on wood in time. Music carries truths when lectures fail. We end the day in a yard. The hedge behind the wall holds leaves that look fresher. The ground under is soft and damp. A small scrape sits by a root. A coin of soil rests beside it. The dog lies by the rope with a bowl of water and a house of shade. The bowl is full. The rope is long. The dog sighs and rolls. A child slides a finger in damp soil and says it feels like cake. The mother laughs. She says, "Wash your hands." The child does, and then clicks once at the hedge, soft. No answer. Not needed. Children turned a shy worker into a neighbor with small acts that stick. A rope. A hedge. A poster on a wall. A click in a room. They changed a village's night with a chant and a bucket and a knot. Next, we widen the lens. We look at the threats that stack. Heat. Storm. Land pressure. We name them one by one without panic. We keep our rules. We hold the line we built and ask how to strengthen it against a season that shifts under all lives here. Survival isn't guaranteed. A map can look steady until the season changes. Heat runs longer. Rain comes hard and then stops for weeks. Wind hits from a new angle and stays. The shy worker's life was built for nights with a certain shape. Dark enough. Cool enough. Damp enough under leaf to keep worms near and beetles fat. Safe enough to cross a strip and reach a seam. That shape shifts now. The ground answers with cracks and floods. The edges answer with noise. The shy worker answers with the only tools it has. Move. Wait. Feed where you can. That might not be enough. We begin with heat. A dry month stretches to two. Leaves curl at noon. The soil crusts where it once crumbled. Small scrapes that used to open like a breath now turn to dust when a claw lifts. Dust runs with wind and settles in a ditch. A child walks over the lane and says the ground hurts feet. The dog lies longer in shade and pants through the night. The shy worker leaves the burrow later because the air near the ground holds heat after sunset. It digs shallow and finds less. Worms pull deeper. Beetles die before they grow. The long snout tests seams and tells the truth with chemicals. Less. 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 We watch a night under a new moon. The shy worker works longer and crosses farther. It reaches a spring that held through drought last year. It's a thin line now. It drinks. It feeds on soft bodies that gather where wet meets leaf. It moves slower. The collar signal, if you listen, draws a wider pattern on a map than last season. The home range stretches. The price is risk. It crosses more open ground. It hears cats in places where cats did not walk because people left for the city and dogs went with them. Empty houses ring with heat and hold nothing but dust. Cats climb their roofs and look down and learn new lanes. Then rain comes. Not the soft kind that soaks. The hard kind that hammers. It comes in hours and leaves in hours and takes soil with it. The shy worker waits in a burrow that fills and drains in pulses. It moves to a whole uphill that it dug in a cooler month for this. It lives because it made two doors. Trees fall. The hedge behind the school bends and holds the ground by its roots. The lane floods and then clears because shrubs now slow it. Without shrubs, the water would cut a trench and make a rut that turns into a river when the next storm hits. The child who planted the shrub walks to the hedge in drizzle and smiles at mud that stayed. She does not say the word resilience. She says good. Storms now push from angles that used to be rare. Wind finds weak trees and pushes them down in pockets where the shy worker fed. Canopy gaps open. Light hits the floor and dries it. Some seeds love this. Some shrivel. The shy worker finds new beetles in sun and fewer worms in shade. It switches menus where it can. Its body can flex in diet, but not in time. It must still work at night. Day burns. Day draws hawks. The change squeezes choice into lines that thin, then break. We look at land pressure. A road pushed by a plan runs out of money and leaves a scar that will erode for five rainy seasons. The scar cuts a corridor in two. The shy worker does not cross bare ground under full moon. It waits for cloud. There's no cloud. It turns back. It feeds on less and returns to the burrow with a belly that does not ease sleep. The plan to finish the road sits on a shelf until a new office opens and a new man signs. He does not see the scar. He sees a line on a map that means votes. The ranger sees the scar. The teacher sees the scar. The child sees the scar and draws it on paper as a wide brown slash. She writes fix with shrubs in the margin. She tapes it to the school door. Sometimes a taped paper moves a man faster than a report does. Shame and pride are tools. We sit with a farmer who says he must plant higher because the lower plot floods now. He points to a slope with sparse trees. He says he will clear there. He looks sorry and not. His children need food. The ranger says plant on the lower plot again, and we will open small drains and plant shrubs to slow water and keep soil. The farmer nods. He does not want to climb. He does not want to cut. He wants to make it to next season. He wants a safe bet. The ranger offers him one with hedges and a day of help and a promise for posts. The promise holds because the NGO lead found money for posts. The shy worker wins because the slope holds. We watch dogs change. In heat, they roam farther at night for water when untied. They find springs where the shy worker drinks and learn routes. They push into cover when a flock of birds breaks and men shout. A tied dog drinks from a bucket and sleeps. The rope holds habits steady in moving seasons. The mother who ties dogs every dusk becomes an anchor. She does not think in climate graphs. She thinks in bowls and ropes and shade. She keeps a line that a model would miss. We look at cats. They hunt same as before. In drought, birds nest lower. Frogs call louder where water remains. Cats learn this at edges. The shy worker arrives at these pockets and finds a line of cats waiting on walls and logs. It turns to a strip that looks safer. The strip ends at a yard with light that burns all night because a man fears theft after stories on the radio. The shy worker waits and burns time. It returns thin. Not today, not tomorrow, but over months thin turns to fewer kits alive at weaning. Numbers slip in ways a child cannot see, and a model can if the team keeps dots on maps and the lab turns dots into lines without lies. We talk about fire. Dry months stack. A spark from a trash burn jumps a ditch and runs in grass that stayed because goats ate shrubs and men never planted hedges. Fire crawls into leaf. It burns low and long. The shy worker digs deep and waits. It lives or dies depending on roots and stone and luck. It emerges to a floor that's ash and a roof that's sky. It walks on coals and clicks and seeks places with unburned seams. If hedges stood, fire stops. If hedges fell, fire runs. The word corridor means safe lane for animals. It also means fire break. People will fund a fire break faster. Use that. Names are tools. We look at water. Springs that held now falter in late dry season. The shy worker ranges wider to drink. It crosses a road at a culvert. The culvert is clogged with trash. It climbs the bank and tries to cross at night when trucks are few. A truck passes. It freezes as light hits. It bolts. It lives this time because the driver breaks in time. He curses and laughs because he tells friends he saw a rat with a long nose. They laugh. One says, "Tie your dog." Stray words cause right acts sometimes. The culvert is cleared next week because a boy saw a picture of a shy worker at school and a clogged pipe outside and joined dots. He pulled trash with a branch. He told a man. The man and two friends pulled the rest. The next month, a shy worker passes under the road in cool air and drinks without crossing asphalt. Act scale. This is how. We think in layers. Threats stack. A drought hits a slope that lost shade. A storm hits a gully cut by a bad road. A fire runs where a hedge was never planted. A dog roams because a rope broke and a bucket ran dry. A cat sits on a wall because a light shows prey. Each layer is small. Together they press life to a line that breaks. We cannot fix climate in this lane. We can fix lanes so climate hurts less. We can keep water in soil. We can keep shade over leaf. We can move roads a little. We can tie dogs. We can plant shrubs. We can turn lights off at 10. We can prefer half as a step that becomes whole. We stand with a planner who lays two maps on a table. One shows flood risk with more storms. One shows corridors. She lines them and sees where both light up. She circles a bend where a hedge will save a house and a lane. She writes a note. She asks for shrubs there before the rains. She gets a truck to carry them because the ranger called a cousin. The cousin likes to drive and likes to help and likes to be asked. The hedge goes in. The house stands. The lane holds. The shy worker crosses. The family sleeps better. Climate did not change. The map did. We step into a council where men argue about a park border. A farmer wants an exception to cut inside for a field. The ranger shows a map where the shy worker's corridor runs. The engineer shows a soil map where the slope will slide if cut. The teacher shows drawings from children. The farmer sees his child's drawing on the wall and blushes. He says he will plant outside the line and asks for help with water. The NGO lead says yes. The council nods. A line holds because pride and love beat a short gain. Use that. Do not mock it. Use it. We watch a series of nights and mark them in a simple ledger. Dry. Storm. Hot. Wind. The shy worker's path shifts within a small shape. It does not flee. It adjusts. One night, it crosses a new corridor planted last year and feeds under shrubs. It digs and makes a coin of soil. A child finds the coin at dawn and shows her mother. The mother smiles and says, "Keep watering." The child waters. The shrub lives. The coin becomes two tomorrow. This is how you write a counterweight to a climate graph. Not with denial. Not with despair. With small weights placed in enough hands. We talk about numbers without losing the room. The team has dots from collars. The dots now line farther between water and food. The range grows in dry months and shrinks in wet. The crossings at roads cluster at culverts when they are clear and spread where they are not. The predation events rise near houses where lights stay on and dogs roam. These are not shocks. They are confirmations. They make choices clearer. Clear choices win. Plant shrubs by culverts. Clear culverts before rains. Talk to neighbors about lights. Tie dogs. Make rules where required. Make songs where possible. We turn to a scene in a lab where a climate model lights a map with colors. Red and orange in future dry months on slopes where shy workers feed. The scientist speaks in plain lines. Warmer nights. Drier soil. Fewer worms near the surface. More range needed to feed. More crossings. More risk. He does not raise his voice. He does not sell fear. He speaks like a ranger reading a ledger. He says then the solution is shade and water and soil and corridors and the old list. He nods at the ranger. The ranger nods back. The model and the machete shake hands. We move to a prayer time in a church. The pastor prays for rain to come right and hands to hold lines. He holds a rope in one hand and a small shrub in the other. He does not make a speech. He sets both on the step. People come forward after and take them. They do the work at home. Faith is a tool when it moves feet at dusk. We treat it as such. We do not patronize. We ask. We accept help. We end with a simple image. The shy worker leaves a burrow into a night after a day that broke a heat record for the month. It walks to a seam in soil under a hedge planted by children. It digs. The soil is damp because a woman watered at dawn. It pulls a grub. It eats. It moves to a second seam and repeats. It walks to a spring that held because men pulled trash from the pipe, and a planter planted shrubs, and a ranger cut a path to slow water. It drinks. It returns before dawn to a hole that stayed dry because a boy stacked stones around it to deflect a small sheet of runoff. It clicks once. It sleeps. Survival isn't guaranteed. It is earned each night by a body with a long snout and a groove on a tooth, and by hands that set posts and plant shrubs and tie ropes and turn off lights and clear culverts and vote right and hold maps and keep promises. Climate will keep pressing. We will keep stacking small stands until they add up to a wall that holds. The wall will not be one thing. It will be hedges and habits and laws and songs. It will be old women and boys and rangers and planners. It will be the sound of a click in a lane at midnight. Threats stack. So do answers. Nights will change. Some will break. Many will hold if we keep building shade and lanes and rules. The final chapter asks what the future says about us. We look at a dawn release and a room where hands join. We say what it means to keep an ancient tool working in the dark and what it says about our name if we fail. We make the choice plain. We take it. The Selenodon's future, a measure of us. Dawn does not rush these hills. It lifts like a pale cloth. The ridge exhales cool air. Leaves hold drops that glow then fall. A small circle of people stands in the half-light. Hands steady. Voices low. A bag on a flat stone moves with a slow, even breath. Today is a release. The ranger checks his watch. The scientist checks a line in a notebook. The teacher wipes mist from her glasses. A child from the youth club stands a step back with a rope coiled on one shoulder, a habit that stuck. The NGO lead holds a small plant in a black bag. The planner carries a folded map. The old woman from the lane is here too, a shawl over her shoulders, a look that says I have lived long enough to see dawns and mistakes, and this feels like a dawn. The bag opens. The long snout appears first. It tastes air. The lower jaw tips and the groove on the incisor catches light for a second. The front feet touch leaf. The body follows. It moves with that shuffle that looks odd in open and exact undercover. It slips into the root-woven shade. It clicks once. The sound sits in the circle like a word said in a kitchen that everyone knows means yes. The scientist breathes and nods. The ranger smiles. The child makes the click back, softer than usual. The old woman laughs and covers her mouth with her shawl. The teacher wipes her glasses again and tells the child to watch where he steps. The planner folds the map tighter like holding a decision firm. The NGO lead presses soil around the small plant with fingers that learn to push root to earth, not just paper to grant. The release is not a show. It is a promise kept. It means nothing if the night fails. It means everything if the night holds. The choice sits with the people in the circle, and with those who did not come. It sits in kitchens where ropes hang by doors. It sits in rooms where stamps rest on maps. It sits in hands that tie knots and hands that build hedges and hands that hold radios and hands that vote. The film steps back to show the shape of a path we drew over these chapters. A cold open in red light. A jaw on foam. A forest that breathes because claws lifted leaves. A village that listened to night. Axes and roads that broke a pact. Quick bodies from a crate. Cats on walls. Dogs on ropes. A ridge where a bag warmed and moved. A line of dots that grew on a map. A groove on a tooth that carried saliva like a quiet tool. A classroom where a chant turned into a habit. A hedge that held in a storm. A culvert cleared by a boy with a branch. A room where a poet would say hope. Our voice says work. We ask a clear question. What does keeping this life say about us? Not as a slogan. As a measure. We look at our own species in the mirror of a small, old line that learned to live in dark with patience and tools made by time. We can keep that line or lose it. If we keep it, we say we can hold complexity in our hands without crushing it, that our need for speed can yield to a rhythm built by soil and leaf and small jaws that click. We say we can act without a camera, and we can care for a thing that will never love us back in a way we can feel, and we can accept that not everything we save will thank us or show up on a shirt. If we fail, we say we love our noise more than our nights, we prefer easy lines on paper to living lines in brush. And we cannot hold a promise past the moment a bright thing distracts us. We say maps are for meetings, not for ridges, and songs fade when batteries die. We say we care about symbols more than neighbors. Our name in the book of this place grows smaller when the shy worker's line ends. That is the measure. The camera walks with the planner to a table where a new map lies. It shows three corridors drawn with thicker lines. The thicker line means shrubs planted, posts set, dogs tied at night in 10 homes, culverts cleared each dry month. It means a patrol route with a small bump where a ranger will walk a hill instead of a road. It means a permit denied and an apology made in a room where no one raised a voice. Plans like this do not earn headlines. They earn quiet. Quiet is the point. We sit with the ranger on a step with a cup of tea. He says hedges cost less than roads and last longer when hands water them. He says ropes cost less than fines and work better when boys tie them and feel proud. He says maps work when they lead boots to places, and not just pens to pages. He says he will retire one day, and this ridge should sound the same at night on his last week as it did on his first. He says click. He smiles and shakes his head at his own sentiment and sips tea. We sit with the teacher in a room where paper cutouts flutter by a door. She says she will keep the chant. She says she will keep the hedge watered in dry months. She says she will tell children not to post burrows. She says she will ask parents to tie dogs. She says she will say respect the mouth and respect the night. And some will laugh, and some will listen, and some will tie, and enough will tie that a line on a map holds. She says that is curriculum. She says no one needs a workbook for that. We sit with the NGO lead. She says budgets are thin. She says donors want big stories. She says she will write calm ones and keep planting shrubs. She says she will take photos of hands, not faces, and dots on maps without doors. And she will write three words on every report. Tie dogs. Plant shrubs. Clear culverts. She says if money stops, she will still show up because she lives here and the slope behind her house held last storm and her child sleeps better when dogs sleep and not roam. We sit with the planner. She says stamps can be shields if you hold them tight. She says she will hold them tight. She says she will keep overlays of flood risk and corridors by her keyboard. She says she will ask engineers for 50 meters on both sides where maps light, and she will remind them that road shoulders do not need to steal shade. She says she will call the ranger when she feels weak. He will call her when he needs law. They will keep the seesaw balanced. We sit with the child from the youth club. He says he tied dogs and watered shrubs and clicked at hedges and got shushed for clicking in church and still clicks sometimes. He says he wants to be a ranger still. He says he also wants to be a teacher sometimes. He says he can be both enough. He says he likes maps. He says he likes ropes. He says he watched a shy worker once under a hedge and did not tell his friends where it was because secrets can be gifts. He says his grandmother said boy might save a slope. He says he wants to try. We sit with the old woman. She says she has seen storms and men who talk too much. She says she likes this work because it is small and steady and makes sense. She says she liked the release. She says she will be gone soon and wants to leave a lane with shade and a dog that sleeps at night and a hedge that holds soil and a child who clicks in the kitchen and a ridge where the sound of a tiny hinge still sits between crickets. She says that would be a good name to leave. She says she never had a plaque. She says she wants the hedge as her plaque. She laughs and coughs and asks for water. The camera pulls back to the ridge again. The day grows. Birds stir. The ground warms. The shy worker sleeps. It does not care for maps or stamps or hedges. It cares for leaf and dark and damp and routes that let it feed and return before the sun makes the soil speak heat. It exists if we keep those. It vanishes if we fail. We set three scenes as vows, not as drama. Vow 1. A patrol at dusk. 2 rangers. 1 community guard. They cut snares. They move stones to close a path to bikes. They check a sign and replace a nail. They pass by a hedge where children planted. They see fresh scrapes. They smile and do not leave a footprint near them. They walk on. Vow 2. A lane at night. A porch light clicks off at 10. A dog drinks from a bowl and lies on a rope under a roof. A cat sits on a wall and watches a ditch. The hedge behind the wall holds a strip of moving shade. A shy worker crosses under it and works a seam. It leaves a coin of soil. A child finds it at dawn, wets a finger, touches the soil, and learns the feel of breath in ground. Vow 3. A room where a stamp sits on a desk. A planner lines 2 maps and draws a curve that saves a corridor. She signs a line that denies a cut. She signs another that plants shrubs. She picks up a phone and calls the ranger. He answers. She says we need posts. He says I have rope. She says I have seedlings. He says I have hands. They meet at the ridge at noon. They carry weight. They sweat. They keep a line. The series ends where it began, at the edge of light. The narrator's voice drops to a thread. A line to carry out of the room and into a lane. This is a small life with an old tool in its mouth. It asks little. Leaf. Dark. Damp. Shade between fields. Dogs that sleep at night. Hands that do not grab. If we make room for that, we say we are the kind of people who can share a place with a neighbor we rarely see. If we do not, we say noise is our god and speed our only song. The choice is not loud. It is a rope on a nail and a hedge by a wall and a culvert cleared when no one watches. The camera holds on leaf at ground level. Nothing moves. Then the long snout enters for a second, taps soil, and leaves. A click. Not for us. For the night. The frame goes black. The last words are clean. Keep night safe. Tie dogs. Plant shrubs. Clear culverts. Respect the mouth. Respect the night. We will know who we are by whether the click remains.